Hello, 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 beautiful people. How are you? I hope you are well and guess what? Thriving. I hope you're thriving. And welcome to the new Mommy Sorrows of a Black Mom. And yes, I'm back. Told y'all I'm gonna be more consistent. Surprise. Accuracy. But we're back. And it's so crazy because life be giving you lemons, right? And I told y'all before, like, you know, I'm going through growth with being a single parent, not anticipating that, as well as, like, just life in general. And one of the hardest things I had to learn this week is kind of, I wouldn't even say a hard lesson, more than, like, a lesson that, how can I say, if, I guess I'm trying to find a political way to say that. It's okay to not like your situation, but it's also okay to not like your circumstance. And the reason I say that is because I know for a fact my baby daddy ain't shit, right? Just knowing it. But I also know for a fact my daughter is still going to love him, be excited when she sees him, anticipate his calls, anticipate his messages, all that. So even when he's a bad dad, and bad is such a lucrative word, oh my God, bad dad. But in reality, he's not a bad dad. He's just the same person he always gonna be, and that's inconsistent AF. So I had to learn that today. Well, not even just today. Over the last couple days, my daughter's dad was supposed to come and get her, take her to go get ice cream. And I don't intervene when he makes plans. And I don't even like, how can I say it? Try to be like, oh my God, what time you coming? Where you at? Da, da, da. No. And some of you might ask why. I don't. Because, how can I say this? It doesn't benefit me frustrating myself with him and his inconsistencies. My ex called my daughter and was like, oh, we're going to go get ice cream on Saturday. I'm going to come pick you up Saturday. Now, he said this all last week, right? I never said anything. I never asked a time, a date, a place, nothing. Just kept saying, oh, I'm going to see you Saturday, baby. I'm going to see you Saturday. She said, okay. Saturday, my daughter has dance. So Saturday comes, and literally, she goes to dance. I get her home. I let her bathe. I get her fed. I get her clothes. All that. I even cancel my plans to make sure I don't start something. And then he calls me and goes, hey, I'm coming to get her. Where you at? I let her take a nap. All that. Now, mind you, I talked to him that morning. He never said anything about not being able to pick her up. It wasn't until almost 6:30 that evening that I got a message from him. Mind you, the last message I got from him was like 11:50. He didn't reach out again until almost 7 o'clock. And his response was, oh my God, I'm sorry I got caught up at work. I had to work. I'm on my way to my next job, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of sat there. Why? Because my daughter's two. And it would be pointless to prove to her the things that she will know, right? It'd be pointless to win a fight that she doesn't know exists. It would be pointless for me to make a big deal about things that are not a big deal, right? And I say this because a lot of moms go through this. My best friend's going through it, where her daughter's father will make open promises, right? What do I mean by open promises? Open promises are that they're promises of going, doing, seeing, spending time for them to fail. Sometimes my daughter would ask for a dad, like, I'm waiting for daddy. Daddy come to get me. And I don't even entertain it. And I used to get mad and be like, girl, your daddy ain't coming. Just come on. Come in the house. Just whatever. And she's two, so she doesn't realize what she's doing to an extent. Like, she doesn't do it purposely to wait for him. I think sometimes she still thinks she's playing make-believe, if that makes sense. And I guess I should credit that with the fact that my daughter is basically an only child, so she knows how to play by herself. So she tends to talk to herself, play with her toys, make them talk, that kind of kitty thing. Granted, she'll be three and all this. I always say she's two. People are like, oh my gosh, she's so big. But I say that to say this. Don't show your hair. Don't show your anger. Don't show your frustration. Don't do any of that, right? My best friend used to get frustrated because her baby father would be like, I'm going to come see you, or I'm going to come do this, and I'm going to come do that. And then he wouldn't. Her daughter would get in her feelings. Her daughter would get upset. And she'd be like, this is why I don't do this. This is why I didn't want that. And I told her, I said, we made the bed that they're laying in, right? We chose the men that are their fathers. We chose the position that they're in. We chose the decisions that they have to live with. My daughter did not ask to be here. I physically chose for my daughter to be here. I physically chose to be her mother. I physically chose to have a child. I physically chose all the circumstances in which she's living in. I chose to leave her father. I chose to find a better space, a better place, and a better environment for her to be raised in. Those decisions, again, I made. Being that she's two, I don't think she really knew how vacant her father was in her life when we lived together and we were together, because she would see him in the morning when she went to school. She would see him late at night or in the evenings when he didn't have to work, all that, right? So for me, I kind of cackle because I'm like, you know, we are mad at the decisions we made, not at the decisions they made, because my daughter didn't ask for her father to be who he is. She didn't say, that's the man I want. I chose him. We choosing him, knowing his flaws, knowing his circumstances, knowing how he is. I wouldn't say he's a vacant dad as much as he is a man who just is him. He will spend more time and more energy in things that are important to him, being his personal life or his job or work or whatever he's doing. And kids come secondary. And the reason I say that is because talking to his close friends and other baby moms, it's a very similar circumstance and situation where, you know, you see him when you see him, you get him when you get him, you have him around when you have him around. And when you're naive enough to believe, like, all baby mamas are bad, is a very hard way to live life. And the reason I say that is because, in my mind, I wouldn't even say you know the whole story, but you also don't know why they are in the position that they're in, right? So I, in the beginning of my relationship, believed that, not to say my baby father was a victim, far from that, but that he, you know, was such a great guy and a great dad and a great person and great, great, great. And then the more I got to know him, the more I saw the flaws in that kind of conversation, where he wasn't this great statue that we built. He was inconsistent, inconsiderate. He was harsh. He was quick to hate as much as he was quick to love. He didn't know how to deal with people's flaws. He didn't know how to deal with people's, you know, pain and their anguish and their struggles and their good days and their bad days. No matter how much he thought he was the perfect man, right? And what I used to think of as like, oh, he wants to spend so much time with me because I'm all this and that, is like, no. He's spending so much time with you because he's not really welcome where he is. He's stuck in a circumstance, right? So I always tell this story. Like, I always used to think I want my ex, right? And the reason I say that is because I would look at it like, oh, he wants to be with me all day, every day. He wants to come spend 4 or 5 days out of his week with me, right? And I was like, huh, I locked up. I want, right? But in reality, all I did, it was basically take out someone else's trash. That sounds shitty, right? But that's how it feels. What I used to look at as his ex's loss or his baby mama's loss, or, you know, she missed out on a great man and she missed out on a great guy. In reality, that woman was happy as hell he wasn't coming back to her house. She was happy as hell to have her peace, to have her solitude, to have her just tranquility, right? But here I was, not even by age, but just young and naive, to think that I was kind of this amazing creature that happened to stumble upon such a great thing, right? And it's crazy because when you look at your children and you feel like, oh God, they're missing out on a father. Sometimes they're missing out on things that aren't beneficial for them, right? You know how people be like, oh, my kids don't eat this and don't eat that. And you're like, oh my God, your kid isn't eating candy. Your kid isn't eating snacks. Your kid isn't. And you're like, they don't know what they don't miss. Like, my nephew used to think grapes and raisins were candy because they were sweet. And he didn't get a lot of sweets. So for him, getting raisins, these sugary, you know, shriveled up grapes were candy. That went on for a while. Because a kid who didn't eat candy wouldn't know what candy is. A kid who isn't experiencing those things can't miss what they don't have. My daughter misses what she thinks is her dad, which is seeing him in small doses, or missing him because she's used to seeing him in some capacity. And I also feel like, you know, she misses out on that connection, but she also has people in her life who fill that void, like her godfathers. She's two of them, and they're both unique and they're both different, but the godfather that she sees often, she has so much love and compassion for, because he gives her that fatherly love that she misses. And because he doesn't have kids and he doesn't have children, my daughter benefits so much from this love and this compassion and this strong masculine figure in her life. She has two great uncles who are really passionate and involved with her and spoil her rotten. She has a pop-pop who loves her and spoils her and literally calls and talks to her and just wants to see her face and is super excited when he gets to spend time with her. It's crazy to think that people purposely miss out on those things, but you also have to realize sometimes they miss out on things that they don't know how to be. And I laugh because I used to think, you know, my ex was such a great guy and he was such a, you know, perfect man. And then, you know, sitting and talking to close friends and family was like, the only reason he saw, you know, his son who lives 4.5-5 hours away is because you presented an environment for his mother to feel comfortable sitting her child, because she knew what type of man he was. She's known what type of man he was. She's seen what kind of man he was. He's a vacant man with a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, and needs a lot of growth. And as much as he thinks he's this great man that should be praised and blessed, he's really a man who's gonna end up alone, because no one can fix a grown adult. No one can put together the pieces of a lifetime of trauma, anguish, pain, sorrow. And no matter how many women who get in his life and think they can fix him, I had to laugh at myself a little bit, because I read a lot of my old text messages and I was like, oh my God, I was enabling a narcissist. I was enabling a person who had no love in their life, and I thought that I could give them more than enough to be satisfied, when in reality it was no amount of love I can give him that could fix him. There was no amount of attention, affection, sex, time, effort that would change who he really was. Broken. It's like you get a plate, right, and you break it and you try to put it back together. No matter how many pieces you find, no matter how many pieces of glue you use to stick it together, there's always going to be these small slivers of broken pieces that you'll never find, that will go missing, that will never, you know, show up again, that will leave this plate still considered broken, right? And we always want to be the glue. As women, it's so crazy. As moms, we do it with our children, where we always want to fix their boo-boos and kiss their scars and tell them that they're okay. And in reality, we can't do that with grown people. We can't really do that with adults who've been through their own life trauma. And it's crazy to think, like, we cover up the, you know, the pain of our kids not getting their dads, right? And I'm a kid who grew up with both parents in the household, a father who was very much in my life. I don't have any kind of, like, daddy issues. But to me, it's so hard, because now I'm raising a child by myself as a statistic, in a sense, which grinds my fucking ears. But when I look at it, I don't look at myself as a statistic. I look at myself as a person who outgrew a bad circumstance that could have led to a worse situation. I look at myself as someone who took the time to really get my shit together and decide what was best for me and my child. As much and as needing as sometimes I wish he was around, because I'm like, God, I need a break. God, I need help. God, I just need 5 minutes. I'm grateful for the moments where I can just take her to a babysitter, or take her to her grandparents, or take her to her aunt, and get a day to just recollect my thoughts, regain my strength, recharge my battery. Not because I think, oh my God, I'm so broken, so tattered. It's like, sometimes the best part about being in a two-parent household is tag teaming kids. The days where I used to come home and I would work 15, 16 hours and have to come home and clean and cook, I didn't feel like I had a partner. I had a person who lived with me. I had a roommate, basically. Because there would be days where he was super helpful, but there was a lot of weeks that I did stuff by myself, that I broke my back to become a better partner for a person who didn't appreciate it. I basically had another child. I basically catered to a grown person who didn't appreciate the small things that I did, like making sure I cooked or making sure I cleaned, that they took it for granted. And yes, I won't make myself out to be this perfect mate because I think that's not realistic. I hate when people say, oh, I was so great and I was so perfect. I'm far from that. But a lot of the things that led to me being bad were being unappreciated, disregarded, unloved, uncared for. Just having someone who's unempathetic to my feelings and my wants and needs made me feel like less than. And because I felt like less than, I gave less than. And because I gave less than, our relationship went through a lot. And now with my daughter, you know, being a child and not really a baby, she's very much aware and hyper aware of that she's always with me. And that she always wants to be with me. And that, you know, she gets super excited because she doesn't think daddy's coming to get her. She's always going to say, mommy's coming. She can depend on me. She could bet her bottom dollar on me. She knows without a doubt that no matter what, mommy's going to be there. And it's kind of sad because his parents were like, you know, kids need that balance. Kids also need to be raised under the impression that love exists, that doesn't come with anger, pain, screaming, yelling, abuse, none of that. I never want my daughter or any child to witness physical, verbal, and emotional abuse and think that is love. I never want my daughter to realize the harshness of the world before she has to. I never want her to think that loving a man who doesn't know how to love you back is okay. That a person who literally walks around and says, nobody cares about me, maybe one day someone will care about me. You're too old to be in need of basic necessities that someone didn't give you when you were a child. The trauma that you're living through, the pain that you're feeling, the emptiness, the loneliness, is not just you joking about, you know, childhood pain. It's you verbalizing childhood trauma. If you verbalizing the feeling and the need to be loved, more love than any one person can give you, more love than one person can show you, more love than you physically know how to verbalize, that makes it so hard for any person who's involved with you to really love you. And a person like me, who's empathetic, who is always giving, whose love language is, you know, service and touch, and I'm a giver. I'm always going to be a giver. I can literally find the need to give even when I don't have, because that's me. Literally, my daughter's godmother's birthday was the other day. Well, it's coming up, excuse me. And she went out of town. So before she went out of town, I said, I got to give her a nice little birthday gift. I'm going to stop by. And I literally ran around for like 3 hours getting flowers, getting her cake, getting her balloons, getting her cards, getting her a nice bottle of champagne to go celebrate her birthday with. It's just nice favors, a deep and empathetic card just to show up my appreciation. Not because I thought, oh, I want her to look at me in a good light, because I wanted her to know how much I appreciate and how grateful I am for her. And that's just me. Like, I will spend my last, even if I don't have it, to show love and compassion to someone, to make sure they feel loved, wanted, and needed, because that's me. I don't ask people to give me. I don't ask people to care about me. I don't ask people to love me. But I'm a person that I'm naturally going to give. I just want a portion of that back. I shouldn't have to ask you to care about me when you see me sad. I shouldn't have to ask you to hug me when you see that my head is down. I'm a type of person, I'm very much a hard person to go unnoticed. Like, my feelings are very much on my sleeve. I'm very much an open emotional book. I'm a very big, you know, talker when it comes to my feelings, because I've learned that people are not mind readers, right? And kids are very perceptive of that. Like, my daughter will see me sad and she's like, "Mommy, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." And I think it's because I'm naturally just prepared to fix my own, heal my own, lick my own wounds in a sense, that I'm used to it. I'm used to burning myself out from both ends and not having any release. I'm used to making sure everything is done no matter what because I want her to be okay. I'm used to giving as much as I can because I want her to be comfortable. I'm used to making sure my daughter is always comfortable and always happy, even when she's stressing me out. But when you're a part-time parent, you get the benefits of being able to go out and drink a party and not have to worry about where your kids are. You get to hang out all night and not have to stress about paying any bills that involve daycare or clothes or food. Just because we aren't together, the bills don't stop. And I've noticed that with a lot of parents when they're single parents, you have a parent that's literally breaking their back. You have a parent who's living their life. Shit's crazy to me. Shit's baffling to me when you see parents who act like they're not parents, right? And I used to crack jokes about a girl I follow on Instagram because I was like, "Girl, I just want to know how you get to live this lavish life. You know what I mean? Acting like you don't have no kids, acting like you ain't got no responsibilities." And I was like, "That's because, you know, she living her best life because she don't have to worry about nobody else." But to me, my day starts with my daughter, waking her up, getting her ready for school, making sure she's a cop, you know, ready to get her day started, making sure she's fed, she's clothed, her hair is done, daycare is paid for, making sure her room is clean, making sure she has everything, making sure that any need and any want she has, I can fulfill. Anything that needs to happen with her, whether it's a doctor's visit, whether it's, you know, she ran out of clothes, she needs new shoes, she outgrew her stuff, anything that she needs comes from me. Now, my ex will make it into, "Well, you chose this life." I chose it, but you still been living this way way, way before we broke up. Don't make it seem like I moved out and all of a sudden, you know, my daughter just suffered and she's struggling and she's just living in a hard world. No. I've been paying bills. I've been taking care of her. I've been her main provider. So yeah, I forgot why I left off. But nonetheless, you get what you're going to get when it comes to your mates and your partners and the disappointment and finding out that it's almost okay to understand, like, people are not going to give you what they get, what you give out. And you almost have to be twice as good, twice as better, twice as hard, whatever. You got to give twice as much. And it's crazy because I'm like, you know, I'm kind of dating. And the person I'm dating is complete opposite of my ex, right? And it's scary as fuck because I look at him and he's like understanding and he's conversational and he's empathetic and he's like empathetic. And I never thought I would want empathy from a man. I never thought I needed empathy. But baby, when you deal with these narcissistic, cold-blooded, selfish-ass men or women, no judgment, you learn what you want and what you need and what to protect your children from. I myself learned the hardest lesson was to protect her. Protect her from things I can protect her from, I can choose to protect her from, or how much I give. I'm hard on myself because I want to be a good mom and I want to be a better parent and I want to show her value, show her love, show her affection. But I also don't want her to feel she's missing out on anything. And I had to explain that to my best friend because she's like, you know, her father be lying and I don't want her to look at me as a bad mom and I'm giving, giving, giving. I said, you overcompensate with gifts. You feel like if you give her stuff, she'll be a better kid, she'll be happier. That's not how that works. You can't make up for a lack thereof. The only thing you can do is be great at what you are. I said, what your fear is that she's going to look at you how you looked at your mother. I said, but your circumstances are different. Your mother chose to keep your father out your life because of her anger, because of him, not because he wanted to be a bad father. Your father is begging and pleading for his kids and trying to be a good parent. And your mother chose to make him a villain. And it wasn't until you were 19, 18 that you realized who your father was. And by then, you had already established this man before even really knowing him. You didn't even give him a chance because your feelings of him are based on what your mother told him. I refuse to tell my daughter bad about her father. I will let her see him for who he is, and he will show her. Because at the end of the day, you can't prove what someone can't hide. I'm a loud person, so I can't walk around whispering, acting like I ain't loud. Eventually, my loud ass is going to talk. Her father being inconsistent, you know, unreliable, mean, harsh, aggressive. She gonna see that how her father is. She gonna see the type of man that he is. And without me having to show her, I think what's sad is that she won't be raised with her siblings. And she has three sisters and a brother who they all will be raised differently and uniquely and in separate spaces. But at the same time, what's ever best for us and our kids is what's best for us and our kids. Her sisters and her brother all have to learn and grow in their own space and time and have to exist in their own space and time. And maybe one day he'll get his shit together where he can have a place in a space where his kids can come and see him and visit and be around each other. But I'm telling you right now, my daughter is never going to be without me. And I won't put her in a position where someone's going to fail her. I rather live in a shack under a bridge and make sure that she is taken care of than to allow her to get manipulated or to feel like, you know, less than, or that she's not good enough, or she's not appreciated, or that someone's not going to protect her. I will protect this end of the earth. And that's the problem, is that we sometimes pick people who can't even protect themselves, who don't know how to take care of themselves. No matter how old people are, people presume the older you get, the more responsibility you know, or you know how to be an adult. People don't know. That's one thing I wish they teach kids, is how to be an adult, how to pay bills, how to be responsible for themselves, how to fill out a W-2, how to apply for healthcare. All these things that you learn because of life and experiences. The worst part about it is we don't teach our kids, and then we expect them to just know. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dumbest thing. And then I feel bad because, you know, I didn't grow up like that. I grew up with my siblings. I remember growing up with my siblings. But I made a promise to myself I would never deal with another man with kids. And it wasn't because I don't love children. I love babies. I love kids. I love children. I refuse to invest in someone else's downfall. And I learned that. Like, being around her siblings, I took to them. I care for them. I tried to build structure. I tried to build a foundation. But because I'm dealing with a narcissist, crazy-ass motherfucking baby daddy, the love that I have for them made me push myself away, because I had to detach myself. I had to separate myself. I had to allow them to separate themselves from me, because I was so in love, so caring, and so emotionally invested. But I had to look back and go, you won't be in their lives the way that you want to be. Because he's such a bad person that you're putting yourself in a position to get yourself hurt. And that's how I felt. I felt so hurt trying to, you know, love and care for kids who parents really, you know, well, I'll say one really loves and cares about her. The other one, her mother trash. Son, he's going to be all right because his mother cares. But you can't invest in love and give, because sometimes it ain't worth it. And it sucks. And whatever relationship she has with her siblings, maybe, you know, me having, you know, more kids and being in a relationship, she'll get to have that normality of a family and a household. But I'm not going to try to do that with her father. I know people will be like, oh, you know, you should try. I tried. I'm not trying nothing else. I ain't about to lie and say me and her father going to make it. I'd rather have each of my toes broke one by one than to go back. Because at the end of the day, I had to do what was best for me and what was best for her. And what's best for both of us is us in our sanity, us in our peace, us in our calm, us in our zone. And it's not something easy. I tell people all the time, single parenthood is the hardest thing you will ever deal with, because you don't always have support. It's days where I'm tired, I don't want to get up, but I gotta get up. It's days where I don't feel like going and doing, but I gotta do. It's days where she stresses me out beyond belief, and I gotta drink some wine. But at the end of the day, You know what I love? When my daughter wants to come and snuggle next to me, and she wants to hold my hand, and she wants to kiss and say, I love you, mommy. All those moments are worth all the bad days. When my daughter hugs me and says, I love you and I miss you, or she sees me when she gets out of daycare and she bolts and gives me a hug, I love it. It makes every day worth it. It's days that I know I need that. I look forward to it. It's days where she tries me like, ooh, I ain't never been tried before. But you know, you live and you learn and you appreciate the good days. Because let me tell you, there are going to be more good days than bad days. There's going to be more good days than hard days. There's going to be more good days than days that you know, you wish you could forget. Because let me tell you, the last 6 months have been a blessing. I didn't think I would be here. If you asked me last year, would I be where I'm at now? I'd be like, girl, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Me and him going to be married. We're getting together. What are you talking about? I look at myself now and I look back and go, girl, you should have did this faster. You should have did this sooner. You should have did this earlier. Because a lot of the things you learn, you don't know you need. And I needed my daughter. I needed her more than she probably needed me. And because of that, and because of what I know, sometimes we go through those struggles where we're like, Lord, I'm not ready. I feel like I'm just a bad parent. I feel like I'm having a bad day. We are human. You're absolutely human. And if you don't realize that, you won't get it. You won't get it. And I want people to understand, like, it's not always a cut and dry situation. You sometimes have to go through the biggest trials and tribulations to understand how great and glorifying that result can be. I'm so grateful because I knew how my life was going to go, right? I knew I just had a plan. I had a book and it was set. And I kept thinking I knew. And I had to laugh because everything I thought I knew, baby, I ain't no shit, okay? Not no shit. But I thank you for listening. I hope that you're strong enough to know and make better choices. I want you to know if your baby daddy don't pick up your kids this weekend, take your kids somewhere. Go take them to get some ice cream. Don't let them sit in sorrow. Don't let them sit in questioning if it's them or they're a bad kid or they're insufficient. Never let your children feel like it's their fault. Technically, it's yours, but we're not going to go there. Your kids should know love. They should know that they're valued. They should know that they're cared about. All that extra shit, if your baby daddy, your baby mother, your ex, whoever, if they trash, they're going to be trash today and trash 10 years from now. Only thing you can do is make sure your children know what you do. Take out the trash and keep it moving. Don't let them sit in that sorrow. Don't let them sit in that pain and love them unconditionally. And I'm out.